is Joy's Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out and serve.
As we go through life, we pick up labels, some of them that are given to us, some that we acquire on our own. We carry them around with us, or we try to take them off or cover them up. And sometimes covering them up takes the form of distinguishing ourselves from those around us. It's an age-old question that we ask at some point in some way as we think about ourselves. And it's a conversation that occurred in a story that I read for you out of Luke's gospel that happens actually around the communion table. Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. The conversation starts and they wonder, who is it that will do this thing? And then in verse 24, Luke tells us that a dispute rose among them as to which one of them was the greatest. And Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over others refer to themselves as benefactors. But you are not to be like that. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, the one who rules like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. We're in this brief Lenten series titled Paradigm Shift, in which Jesus calls his followers to flip their understanding of the world over so that they see themselves and the world around them through a different lens, from a different perspective. This conversation, this question about who is the greatest, is one that had popped up at several occasions throughout the Gospels. At one time, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, hang on a second. He invites a small child into his presence and he says, see this child? I tell you, unless you become like one of these, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Another occasion, people were bringing children to Jesus to be blessed by him, and his followers like, no, don't bother him with the children now. He's busy. We got important stuff to do. Jesus said, unless you become like one of these, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. On another occasion, they were traveling and along the road, and as they went by, a blind man cried out to the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were standing by, he's like, shh, don't bother the Lord right now. He's busy. And what the perspective, the worldview of the day was that small children should be seen and not heard, and blind beggars as well are not as important, and they need to be left to the side while the important people do their important things. Another time, Jesus said to his disciples that the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, and he will be delivered into the hands of the priests and the teachers of the law, and they're going to condemn him, and they're going to mock him and flog him and crucify him. But on the third day, he will rise from the dead. And at that point, James and John send their mother to Jesus to say, Lord, can my sons have the cushy seats when your kingdom comes? Jesus says, you don't really know what you're asking for. The reality is that those seats have already been assigned by my Father in heaven, and the real issue is, will you be my disciple, and will you endure the suffering that comes with being my disciple? And again, he says, the rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and those officials exercise authority over others, but not so with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must become your servant. Whoever wants to be first will be your slave. And the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Sometimes we deal with the labels that we acquire in life by trying to take them off ourselves, and that doesn't really work until we've experienced the love of God in Christ and we begin to perceive ourselves as God perceives us. Sometimes we can't take them off, so we try to cover them up and obscure them. Who is the greatest? Muhammad Ali said, I am. He would later say, is it really bragging if it's true? Muhammad Ali is certainly one of the greatest boxers of all time. But when we get to this question of who is the greatest, or it's a reminder that we often shape or label our own identity in contrast to others. I am tall or I am short in relationship to someone else. I am fast or slow in relationship to someone else. I am smart or dumb in relationship to someone else. I am cool or nerdy, all in contrast to others. Who are you and who am I is often defined in relationship to others. Jesus says, not so with his disciples. That the thing that should distinguish us, our identity, is formed and based on God's love for us, the fact that he has created us in his image and has redeemed us through the death of Christ, that we are, by virtue of our relationship with him, wonderfully and fearfully made. David Brooks, in his book, The Road to Character, identifies or distinguishes between resume values and eulogy values. Resume virtues are those things that distinguish us in the marketplace, things that we put on our resume in order to get a good job and to secure our place in the world. We focus on skills that we accomplish and successful things that we can attribute to ourselves. And that's probably a good thing. We all need to go through the world being competent in accomplishing things and using the gifts that God has given to us to earn a living. I think the challenge comes when we begin to define our ultimate identity by those accomplishments and our place in the world instead of by the fact that we have been redeemed by Christ. Brooks contrasts those resume virtues with eulogy virtues. You know, those things that people say about you once you're gone. The things that matter most, that identify you at the core of your being, like, are you kind and honest? Are you faithful? Those things are the things that define us or should define us as God's people. And ultimately, underneath all of that, the idea that we have been loved by Christ. This question came up around the Lord's table. Jesus says, somebody's going to betray me. And they say, well, who's going to do that? And then they start talking about who's the greatest in God's kingdom. And I think it's at that moment that Jesus, we pick up the narrative from John's perspective in his gospel, that Jesus stands up, takes off his robe, and dresses himself as a slave boy and ties a towel around his waist, and he gets up and he begins washing the feet of his disciples. His disciples don't really get it, and Peter protests on behalf of all of them. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, Peter, you don't realize what I'm doing, but you'll get it later. And Peter says, no, Lord, you will never wash my feet. Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me. Peter, all excited, then says, wash my hands and my head as well. He says, unless we are washed first, we have nothing to offer one another. Unless we let Jesus cleanse us of all of those false and negative and distorted labels of who we are and who we think we should be, we need to be washed first so that then we can wash one another. Jesus flips the paradigm on how the disciples are to view their place in the world, servanthood as one who is among them as a servant, one who has taken off his robes, his dignity, his honor, and taken up that of a common houseboy. Peter understands that the world is organized around lords and masters and rulers and emperors and everybody else. And he has a hard time with Jesus' Lord becoming servant of others. And Jesus turns the world upside down. He shows us that the way to answer the question, who is the greatest, the way up, rather, is the way down. Each of us has within us an ache, a longing for significance and meaning and purpose. There is in all of us at various times a wanting to stand out from among the crowd, even if it's just by an inch. The broken soul longs to be recognized as unique and special. But Jesus says, the one who is greatest among you is the one who serves. And in this foot-washing illustration that we've been following here, we see a metaphor, an image of servanthood that is characteristic of Jesus in all of his life and even of God himself. Jesus, in this image, shows us the shift in attitude that should characterize all of life. He would later, by the end of that meal, say to his friends, a new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, it takes place in the context of the communion table, the Lord's Supper, that the fellowship of God's community together in God's presence. It's a lesson that occurs and is in the context of the faith community, is descriptive of what it means for us to interact with one another. This servanthood, this being washed and then turning and washing one another's feet, is demonstrated and practiced not in the performance of a specific action, but in the context of our relationships with one another. That opening video takes us back to the need of being loved and living out of an identity of having been loved and serving others in such a way that it affirms their dignity as people who are loved. Servanthood or serving one another is to relate to them in a way that celebrates their dignity and moves each of us beyond our, to a level beneath all those external descriptions by which we characterize and identify ourselves. There are studies have been done at Harvard and Emory University and National Institute of Health identifying that there is that serving others is good for you, that it creates a sense of peace and joy and happiness. It leads to a greater sense of security. In fact, it says that it'll make you serving others, and they define this as promoting the welfare of others, even to the expense of your own welfare, will make you happy, even more so than a piece of chocolate. That helping others lights up the part of your brain that registers reward and pleasure. And Jesus knew that there was something intrinsic about the need for us to be serving one another, not so that we can then take on new labels and feel good about ourselves, but in such a way that the people we serve feel and understand that they are loved at a level deeper than the labels that define them. That's what it means to live in Jesus' world of paradigm shift. That those who want to be great among you will be your servants. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for your endless mercy in Christ for this moment and your call to descend.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.